Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 25th day of September, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Call. And it's certainly a week where a once great republic, now empire, continues to unravel. And the truth, at least for those who seek it diligently, continues to emerge, albeit in fits and starts. And on that note, I guess I'll start with the long-awaited, long-delayed, much-obfuscated, and as it turns out, arguably sabotaged, over and over and over again, Arizona election audit, which allegedly, at least, finally came out Friday afternoon. Color your host skeptical, folks. Certainly what we've seen so far hasn't been worth the wait, and that at least is consistent with some of the insiders who've been suggesting that the fix has been in now for quite a while. I have a pretty strong suspicion we'll hear at least something more over the weekend, but one thing seems to be for sure. The people who've destroyed the U.S. economy and now are working on the U.S. military and want to kill millions of dumbed-down face diaper wearers besides aren't about to let a little thing like an election stand in their way. The spin is obvious, and it's easily revealed by simply looking at something like the New York Times twist. Republican review of Arizona vote, they scream, fails to show stolen election. Why, they even managed to count more Biden votes than the original fraud, count. How amazing is that? And by the way, folks, if it seems, as I read through this, like this report kind of strangely echoes a California governor recall where the tyrant incumbent actually somehow managed to survive being recalled by even a larger margin than the general election for the first time ever, your cynicism, too, is probably well-deserved at this point. But hey, guess what? I have a suspicion we're going to see a whole lot more of this kind of thing as people finally realize that electronically rigged elections are a farce and have been for quite a while. Writes Zero Hedge, quoting the draft report, the three-volume report by the Cyber Ninjas, the lead Senate contractor, includes results that show Trump lost by a wider margin than even the county's official election results. Kind of makes you wonder, and it should, what Maricopa County was really hiding. The data in the report also claims that U.S. Senator Sick Mark Kelly won in the county.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along.
Even a quick read of the chortling from the waystream media, places like the WAPO or New York Times, will show that the headline is all that matters. And now they can claim again that there was no basis whatsoever for ever doubting that Big Brother knows what's best for you, you slimy peons, you. So, hey, since the election was a dud, why not make sure now to take the poke, too? In other words, if there's anything in that report that doesn't support their official narrative, they're not going to tell you anyway. And who knows, folks, maybe that was the backroom deal all along. And if two Facebook, Twitter, the WAPO, and the New York Times won't report it, why, there really wasn't any sound from that tree that may or may not have fallen in the forest. Heck, maybe there was never really a tree at all. Zero Hedge, at least, does actually quote some important things from the report itself. What they found, it said, is, quote, both encouraging and alarming. On the positive side, oh, yeah, no substantial differences between the hand count of the ballots provided, and the official canvas results for the county. But still, they note, that doesn't allay all of the concerns. Here are just a few of those that they list. None of the various systems related to elections had numbers that would balance or agree with each other. In some cases, they said, those differences were significant, and there appear to have been many ballots cast from, quote, individuals who had moved prior to the election. There were missing files from the Election Management Systems, or EMS, server. Ballot images on the EMS were corrupt or missing. All of that might raise at least a few eyebrows for people that don't work for the WAPO or New York Times anyway, and logs from those servers appeared to have been intentionally rolled over, and all the data in the database related to the 2020 general election had been, listen carefully here, fully cleared. I don't know, is it just possible that maybe that helps explain why they stonewalled these things for so many months? And why something called the chain of custody, once required by what we called law back when we had it, has been so gloriously broken? On the ballot side, says the report, batches were not always clearly delineated. Duplicated ballots were missing the required serial numbers. Originals were duplicated more than once. Yeah, nothing to see here. Move along. And the auditors were never provided chain of custody documentation for the ballots for the time period prior to the ballots' movement into the auditor's care, all of which, they opined, increased the complexity and difficulty in properly auditing the results. Ah, how's that for an understatement? And get this, it added ambiguity into the final conclusions. No, folks, it made the final conclusions bogus as hell, and I'll say it outright, even if they won't. But I'm sure that, but you know what? I'm sure that Joseph Stalin is down there somewhere, looking up and smiling. And after waiting months for a farce like that, these stories might help break the tension today. Here's one from Steve Watson via Summit News about the United States House of Communists, which passed an amendment to the NDAA, or National Defense Authorization Act, on Thursday that will end all funding blocked to the Echo Health Alliance, at least officially, which evidently means anything that can actually be tracked. Because this was the corrupt organization that funneled U.S. taxpayer money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology for gain-of-function experiments that some honest, actual scientists believe led to the COVID-1984 plandemic and subsequent well-planned poke of the beast. Now, this just happens to fall right after reporting earlier this week that Echo Health Alliance, under the direction of the infamous Peter Daszak, attempted to secure millions more in funding from the Pentagon scientific arm DARPA to genetically alter viruses, including bat coronaviruses, to make them more infectious to human, and then spray nanoparticles containing skin-penetrating versions of SARS-CoV spike proteins into the air just 18 months prior to the subsequent COVID outbreak and pandemic. Said Pennsylvania Republican Representative Guy Reschenthaler, who introduced the amendment, "It's deeply disturbing that Echo Health Alliance funneled American taxpayer dollars to support dangerous and potentially deadly research at the WIV, a laboratory run by the Communist Chinese Party, tied to military biological research and the probable origin of the COVID-19 pandemic." He spelled it wrong. What he didn't say is, too little and way, way, way too late. And by the way, have you seen any indictments yet for treason or even mere criminal charges for much lesser things like violations of the Nuremberg war crimes protocols all the way up to genocide and mass murder? I rest my case. And this next story, folks, I just saw courtesy of Zero Hedge. It would be funny if it wasn't for the fact that it really wasn't when the Nazis had to pull similar stunts. Friday's episode of the far-left The View show was a complete meltdown, says Tyler Durden of Zero Hedge, after two of the hosts tested positive for the booga booga flu, COVID-19, during the middle of the show, forcing producers to change the planned interview of Heels in the Air Harris, the woman who plays a vice president on TV, from an in-person visit into a virtual interview. It went like this. After the first commercial break, hosts Sonny Hostin and Anna Navarro were asked to leave their seats. Co-host Joy Behar had to tell the audience that an explanation, maybe, would be forthcoming later. When Behar asked a producer if she could introduce the vice president, a producer instead sent the show into yet another break, according to People magazine, after which Behar announced that the fully vaccinated co-hosts, Hostin and Navarro, had both tested positive for, say it with me, folks, COVID-19. And here's the real punchline for this whole episode, courtesy of The Federalist, which notes, quote, "Just before the segment featuring Navarro and Hostin being led off stage, the panel opened the show complaining about the evil, unwashed, unvaxxed, the new subhumans, the new yellow star wearing, well, in the 1960s they would have been called by the N-word, you people, the undesirables. But pretty soon, folks, the intent is the unvaccinated won't even be allowed to get in the back of the bus with a chyron, which read, I hope you're sitting down for this one, quote, experts claim vaccinated are not as likely to spread COVID.
That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it."
And from there, we go on to one other bit of irony that also helps to set the stage for what's coming real soon now, probably before the middle of November. As the United States stands on the brink of hyperinflation and a currency meltdown associated with the collapse of the biggest debt bubble in human history, at the very least, this helps explain why it's so important for the plunge protection team and the world controllers to keep a lid on real alternatives like real precious metals, actual gold and silver that you can hold in your hand. Said a report out of China, courtesy of Zero Hedge, early on Friday morning, China expanded their escalating crackdown on cryptocurrencies Friday when their central bank declared that all activities related to digital coins are illegal and must be banned. In a statement, the People's Bank of China said their latest notice was to prevent the risks surrounding crypto trading and to maintain, oh yeah, national security and social stability. Curiously, the statements dated September 15, but only hit the Central Bank website at 5 p.m. on Friday. And also notes Zero Hedge, the news has already been priced in at least once, with rumors of a crackdown by the PBOC sending the prices of things like Bitcoin lower during mid-September when they were already trading just below 50,000. The latest harsh directive concludes the story, which sent Bitcoin dropping over 8% on Friday, comes as global markets have grown increasingly concerned over a debt crisis involving property developer Evergrande Group of China, which many have speculated would lead to a surge in capital outflows via cryptos intended to bypass China's Great Firewall. And the Chinese government may also be responding to signs that miners are disguising their activities to stay in business, according to Bloomberg. But the most likely explanation, they say, behind the crackdown is that Beijing is simply looking to stem capital outflows via stable coins and cryptocurrencies. Still, though, there are those that suggest that any such attempts to ban the likes of Bitcoin will only strengthen it, showing resilience and ability to withstand sovereign pressure. To those folks, your host would suggest several things. One, pay attention to what's been done for a long time to the gold and silver markets. Paper Bitcoin, anyone? Things like Bitcoin futures and naked short sales, and come to think of it, how would you really know what's going on behind those oh-so-complex algorithms, at least to the average person? Can you hold it in your hand and weigh it? And what would you do if your Bitcoin or your Ethereum or your Dogecoin or whatever else it might be, if the power grid goes down or the internet goes down or you simply aren't allowed to get on the internet without, oh, maybe taking the poke of the beast? And finally, there's this, too. Think about just who it is that runs the United States nowadays. Who it was that General Woke Millie was going to call and let him know if anything really nasty might be coming their way. Would he, or maybe somebody else, call and tip the Chinese off about a rate increase too? Or anything else that might threaten their control of the almighty U.S. dollar? And those who get paid off in it? Could the United States follow rapidly in communist China's footsteps? I'd have to say, duh. We had yet another clue this week when the Biden Fuhrer, along with his so-called defense secretary and chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, traitors all, decided to double down again on their attempts to destroy the U.S. military. The marionette in chief said that all troops should be dishonorably discharged, Achtung, if they dare to disobey their orders to take the COVID poke, even if it kills you, or maybe especially if it does. The White House, said the Daily Mail, took strong exception to even the attempt to put a provision in the NDAA that would prevent the Pentagon from punishing or dishonorably discharging any member of the services who refuses the Zyklon B poke, even if they have already had a previous COVID-19 infection and have massively better real immunity as a result. I guess what I'm saying, folks, is that it's well past time for skepticism by now. Case in point. Remember that airport suicide bomber who killed 13 Marines and other Americans waiting for evacuations that basically never came at the Kabul airport? Well, of course, unless you were a terrorist, in which case they were managed to get out well ahead of the Americans, many of whom are still there. But as for the suicide bomber that did that dirty deed, turns out he was set free from a prison at Bagram's Air Force Base after Joe Biden abandoned it to the Taliban, along with, as you know, lots and lots of wonderful high-tech weaponry. From real assault rifles to AMRAPs, Humvees, and Black Hawk helicopters, all of which is no doubt being used now to kill Americans and others. Thank you, Chi-Coms, Joe Biden, and his traitorous military henchmen. But yeah, that's redundant, too. Here's how Jim Hoff reports it for the Gateway Pundit, noting that the Biden Fuhrer abandoned the Bagram airfield in Afghanistan after billions of bucks and nearly 20 years in July by simply shutting off the electricity and slipping away in the dead of night without even bothering to notify the Afghan base commander, who discovered the American secret departure more than 2 hours after they left. Obviously, the Taliban quickly took control of Bagram Air Force Base, only 30 miles north of Kabul, on the 15th of August, and then released thousands of terrorists held in its prison. The Americans and the Afghans left the Taliban all kinds of military equipment, uniforms, rations, ammunition, and even sports drinks. And in the process, violated military principles and protocols that even Razi cadets ought to understand better than Biden's senior military traitors, masquerading as advisors. And now there are reports that the ISIS suicide bomber who murdered those 13 U.S. servicemen and women, as well as 169 Afghans, was released by the Taliban from the Bagram prison turned over to them by the Biden Fuhrer in July. And I guess from there we really need to talk about just how deep and evil that particular rabbit hole really is. Project Veritas is reporting on a federal government whistleblower from HHS that's now gone public with secret recordings, among other things, saying clearly that the vaccine is full of shit. Speaking about the damnable cover-up of the downright deadly side effects of the massive not-a-vaccine poke, emergency room doctor Maria Gonzalez of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services expressed her obvious frustration at the number of serious cases of side effects she's seen of people who have just taken the vaccine and whose reactions are not being reported, as they're required to do, by what they once thought of as law.
Now you got this guy in room 4 who got his second dose of vaccine on Tuesday, has been short of breath.
He's got brain myocarditis.
Yes!
Oh, this is bullshit.
Let's see.
Probably myocarditis due to the vaccine.
Right.
But now they're not going to blame the vaccine.
Well, and you know what? But he has an obligation to report that, doesn't he?
They are not reporting.
Right.
And as James O'Keefe helps make clear in the video, we're talking about a 30-some-year-old patient who's suffering from congestive heart failure immediately after having taken his second dose of what your host refers to as the Zyklon B poke. And as the other whistleblower makes clear, this event specifically was not reported as required. And you can pretty well guess it's representative of a whole lot more, likewise. And why?
And the people that have been vaccinated, they're not doing any antibody testing.
It's super fishy.
Not that it hasn't been done. It hasn't been published.
That's it all. Hasn't probably been done because the government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
The government doesn't want to show that the vaccine is full of shit.
It's not doing what its purpose was.
Well, gee, here I might take slight exception to what the whistleblower is saying. I guess it depends on what the actual purpose was. It certainly wasn't what they were telling people, at least. James O'Keefe introduces one of the whistleblowers, Jody O'Malley, and then cuts to a screenshot from the FDA website.
It says that you're required to report adverse events following vaccinations. One of those would be congestive heart failure.
Yeah, it's a huge one.
Were there other instances that they didn't report?
Oh, I've seen dozens of people come in with an adverse reaction.
Whereupon he proceeds to go into more detail on exactly the kind of things that are being covered up. And this, folks, is just part one of two. The bottom line, though, is something that's been increasingly obvious for a long time. They're lying to people. They're violating the Nuremberg Principles and conducting literally deadly experiments on live human guinea pigs. And it's getting harder by the day to deny the obvious. This is nothing but outright genocide. And I guess you could call this a related topic from Jeffrey Greider at Now the End Begins. The Vatican City State announced on Monday that effective October 1st, no one will be allowed to enter its territory without presenting their mark of the beast, the coronavirus green pass, by the order of none other than Pope Satan.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
And the world doesn't just have a Pope Satan, it's got various Governor Satans, too. From Ethan Huff at Natural News, a Wuhan coronavirus isolation and quarantine, their term, facility, has now been set up by Governor Jay Inslee of the People's Republic of Washington State, where Governor Satan is now looking to hire people for the strike team, too, that will run it. Reminiscent of the World War II SS, writes Huff, hired hands will provide, quote, services, security, and management to the facility. And those who check in voluntarily, yeah, sure, will not be allowed to leave without first notifying the strike team. Is anybody else hearing the old Eagles song, Hotel California? Continues the story. We've been warning about this kind of thing emerging in our country for many months, only to be called conspiracy theorists for even daring to make the suggestion. We are, of course, already seeing these things in both Canada and the People's Republic of Australia down under. But now it's suddenly a conspiracy fact that at least in the far left state of Washington, government there is establishing Wuhan Chinese flu holding facilities that will supposedly house people who choose to go there until they receive a negative test for the booga booga flu. From there, folks, I'm going to go to a story that actually introduces a concept, at the very least, that your host has been thinking about now for over a week. I note that, for example, in politically correct America, if you even point out that somebody is a bit on the heavy side, and maybe for the sake of their heart and their health, they want to consider losing weight, that's called fat shaming. How dare you? If you suggest, as is very much true, that the Bible outright condemns male homosexuality, and furthermore suggests that there's a death penalty associated with it, although it looks like the Creator himself will take care of that, you're called even nastier stuff like homophobic. How dare you believe the Creator of the universe rather than the Creator of movie magic, Hollywood? They don't care about morality, but they do certainly care about tolerance and diversity. Unless, of course, it's you that they don't want to tolerate. And people have already virtually been drawn and quartered. Certainly the online version, and before that the banning version from Twitter and to Facebook and the like, for suggesting that there could possibly be any similarity to the shaming of those who know better than to take the Cyclone B poke, and are thus marked with the modern version of the Nazi yellow star. You can't even imply that, although it's very much true. Well, folks, I think the truth is we're way beyond even that now, and we might as well just come right out and say it. Have you noticed that there is one word that just about anybody who has been raised in the last 50 years will not utter in polite company? Well, unless, of course, they're black, in which case it's perfectly okay. But if you're white, you can't let the N-word cross your lips, and we all know it. People lose their jobs or worse. But wait a minute. All of a sudden, we've got all kinds of people of every color who are nothing other than, yeah, the dreaded N-word when it comes to discrimination of the type we saw in America in the bad old 1950s look tame by comparison. The current day bigots are going to make you do far worse than ride in the back of the bus. Hell, if you haven't been vaccinated, pretty quickly, we all know you're not going to be allowed on the bus. And if you're one of the new N-words, don't worry about a special drinking fountain for you labeled something like Coloreds Only. You won't be able to drink at all, much less buy or sell or feed your family, hold a job, go to Disneyland, or get on a plane. So yeah, I'll say it almost outright. The new N-word, folks, are those who won't commit suicide by taking the poke of the beast. And if you even point that out, what do you bet they'll do something worse than even calling you a bad name? Which brings me to a story that I pretty much expected was coming one way or another. Let's call it illustrative. This comes from the Daily Mail, and there's a bit of smoke here as well, but we can see the fire. BLM, says their headline, holds a Cancel Carmen's protest outside the famed New York City Italian restaurant after three black women claimed that the Asian hostess there questioned their friends' vaccination cards and called them booga, 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 yes, the dreaded N-word, before they were arrested for starting a brawl. Says the sub-headline here, Black Lives Matter staged their protest on Monday night in front of the Italian restaurant on the Manhattan Upper West Side, accusing the management of racism. Notice how only certain people can be accused of racism, others can't, and only certain kinds of racism are going to be reported, your host notes. The Carmen restaurant released surveillance footage on Monday showing the assailants appearing to approach the hostess, but without being provoked. The Asian hostess, age 24, at Carmine's restaurant was allegedly punched and beaten by the three Texas women after she asked them for proof of vaccination on Thursday. But wait, folks, pay close attention here. It's obviously okay to treat people like the old N-word. Well, some of those people, anyway. Just don't come right out and use that N-word. But if you really want to discriminate, you can do it all you want if they haven't taken their poke. And since Thursday's incident, back now to the Daily Mail, the women, all of whom are black, said they were racially profiled and called the N-word by someone, although it's unclear, by whom. And get this, folks, the restaurant acknowledged that the women, and I won't give the names and ages here, actually did show that they were good little house-you-know-whats or, well-behaved slaves, let's put it that way, because they did show their vaccination cards. Is this making you angry yet? They were allowed to be seated indoors, but they were told they had to leave when two male members of their party couldn't show proof that they too were good little slaves with their poke of the beast papers. Let me just say it as clearly as I can, given the obvious constraints here, again paraphrasing Orwell. Some niggers are obviously more equal than others. And I'll admit it, folks, even though I bleeped it, it really bothers me even to try to say that word in the course of making a recording, which shows you just how far gone this society is. We care more about a word than the fact that we're actually doing what upset so many people rightfully a bunch of decades ago to a whole bunch of other people who've done nothing wrong other than not be as dumb as a post and willing to be treated like a slave and suicided in the process. This is so much worse, folks, than making somebody sit in the back of the bus or drink out of a colors-only fountain. What's wrong, folks, is still wrong, and what's even worse is that we know better and shouldn't sit by silently. And we'll be right back after the bottom of the hour break.
Did you write the book of love, and do you
Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening. Given both the news and the state of the world and the time of the season, this is going to be a bit different than what I often do. I'm your host, Mark Call. And this segment I pre-recorded prior to the day that, from my understanding of the biblical calendar, begins the Fall Feast of Sukkot, also known as the Feast of Tabernacles, or even Mangers in something that sounds more like Old English. And it's also almost certainly the actual day, or at least the week, of the birth of our Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach. And no, folks, it certainly wasn't the winter solstice. So hopefully that helps explain the music for today, especially when you understand that the Feast of Sukkot, being the final week of the fall feast, is a time of joy, or simcha, and we're commanded to be joyful, in spite of all the ugly stuff that's going on in the world. And since it's also a day of no work, I pre-recorded almost all of this show so that it would be ready, and yours truly can celebrate the feast, the Moed. And thankfully, other than the continuing treason, continuing to go unpunished, and the continuing goose step by the jackbooted thugs towards the poke of the beast, followed by the mark of the beast, most of the new news today is just the continuing advance of the old news. So let's go right to this special summary of things that I think you need to be aware of now. Because remember, folks, we are supposed still to know the times and the seasons so that we're not caught unawares. I have frequently talked of late about how Americans, at least in a minority way, seem to be waking up to the incredible level of tyranny that's now being forced down their throats by what I think is undeniably, at this point, forces that represent nothing but pure evil. And there were several developments over the last week or so that again helped to make that point. One of the most interesting on that score, I think, was a piece by Ethan Huff, which appeared in naturalnews.com, explaining how Americans are losing faith in doctors and so-called modern medicine, especially the great god science, I can't help but think, amid widespread COVID deception and outright in-your-face fraud. Well, I'll go one step further. Open, unvarnished genocide. More people than ever before, he begins, are waking up to the scam that is now Western medicine, and we have the Wuhan coronavirus, aka COVID-19, plandemic to thank for it. An increasing number of Americans who once used to trust this system are now saying to themselves, I will never trust another doctor again. And their reasons are legion, but they include the medical profession's obvious shift away from science into a full-fledged death cult. And the COVID agenda, openly amounting to tyranny and mass murder, has really amplified this, he says, showing that so-called doctors are now practicing medicine based on what the White House, big media, and big pharma tell them to do, while science, at least as it once was understood, has been tossed out the window. In private conversations with people they trust, writes Randy Pinkerton for American Thinker, American citizens are heaping contempt on doctors for forcing a narrative on us that has no basis in science. Many of us, perhaps even the majority, immediately recognize this virus for what it is, a common flu bug engineered to be more contagious, if not more fatal, but hardly differing substantially from other influenza strains. And deep down, writes Huff, most people, including those who on the surface seem to be buying into the pandemic hoax, probably know this. But since they foolishly went along with wearing their face diaper rebreathing apparatus and getting the poke, they too are now too prideful and embarrassed to fess up to their mistake, which may in fact even turn out to be fatal. But some are speaking up. Those who previously were true believers, or at least wanted to believe what the TV and socialist media were saying, can now see that they were lied to, and they're not happy about it. Explains Pinkerton, it seems that our doctors went along with the hoax to a large degree because it put them in the spotlight. Amazingly, almost none of them even questioned the lies. They abandoned everything they'd learned in Virology 101 and went full cry wolf. It worked out well, at least for them. Suddenly they were the focus of attention and their words were hung on breathlessly. Unquote, almost like they were getting some of the aura of the great god Fauci himself, your host notes. And with that as introduction, folks, I want to give a couple more examples of things that came out this week demonstrating why people are right not to trust these so-called doctors and their fake great big pharma god medicine. Also from Natural News, this time Ramon Tomey, public health data from Scotland reveals that 80% of the COVID deaths there just happen to be vaccinated individuals. The September 8 report reveals that people partly and fully vaccinated, here's a shocker, still catch the booga booga flu, even though they're no longer tested for the virus. Why bother if you know their bodies are being re-engineered to produce the spike protein in mass, your host adds. Critics, though, claim that PHS has cleverly presented its data to try to conceal the reality that more COVID-19 cases come from those who have taken the poke. The September 8 report breaks down the number of COVID fatalities based on age and vaccination status. However, they do not present coronavirus deaths on a weekly basis and instead includes fatalities all the way back to December 29th of last year, giving the impression the vaccines work because most fatalities appear to occur among the unvaccinated, at least as long as you properly rig the figures. And the trick, as we've talked about a number of times, is all about how you classify them and count them. Which, for just one example, includes counting people who've only taken one of the two doses of the poke as unvaccinated, if it suits your purposes, not so much if it doesn't, and most importantly, ignoring those who die after taking the poke, but from something that can plausibly at least be called other than the booga booga flu, like, you know, massive stroke, heart failure, heart inflammation, or even lesser, arguably mild problems like Guillain-Barré, paralysis, loss of limbs, and so on. Oh, and let's not forget, folks, all those unvaccinated people who got hit by a motorcycle or killed themselves with alcohol poisoning that were called COVID fatalities back before there was even a vaccine to force into people's bloodstreams. Even with all that on the table, though, if you look at the PHS report from September 8th and compare directly to its August 18th counterpart, figures reveal that more deaths have occurred among the so-called fully vaccinated. Between August 5th and 26th, 25 so-called unvaccinated individuals, 6 that were called partly vaccinated, and 92 fully vaccinated individuals died as a result of one variant or another, anyway, of the booga booga flu, COVID-1984. Putting that into perspective, about 80% of people who got the shot died of COVID-19 compared to only 20% of those who didn't take the poke. And note as well that they're not telling us how many people died from other things like stroke, heart attack, or neurological failure. And similar insights can be gained from a careful examination even of things like U.S. CDC data, which show a higher number of deaths claimed to be from COVID-19 following the development of a vaccine. The National File has examined CDC data for the first 10 days of September 2020, compared those with September 2021. The two periods, says the piece, correspond to the second wave of COVID-19 before vaccines and the fourth wave of COVID-19 with mass vaccination occurring in the latter. And in the first 10 days of September a year ago, daily U.S. deaths don't exceed 960. However, data from the same time frame in 2021 showed that daily COVID deaths reached as high as 1,860. And based on these findings, the vaccine can be alleged to cause an almost twofold increase in the risk of dying from the very disease it claims to address. And note, folks, again, that does not include the risk of the stroke poke or the clot shot causing all kinds of deaths from other things. And finally, as your host, let me make this observation again. No, you probably won't hear from the other waste-stream media, even Fox, if, as Dr. Geert van den Bosch and other immunologists and virologists have long suggested, the clot shot is causing the development of the various variants like Delta, Epsilon, Mu, Lambda, all the way down to Zeta, and when they run out of Greek letters, some others. The spike proteins and so-called variants shed by the fully poked bioreactors. Remember the study that says their nasal passages can contain 250 times the viral load of an infected COVID individual from just a year ago now? Well, the point should be obvious. As more and more people take the poison poke, the risk to everybody goes up, in spite of the great big stinking fetid lie they're trying to force down your throats. Yeah, and into your bloodstream. In Israel, Dr. Kobi Haviv, director of Herzog Hospital in the capital city of Jerusalem, notes that vaccinated Israelis now comprise the huge majority of COVID-1984 patients being treated in that country. He tells Channel 13 News, "I understand that most of the patients are vaccinated, even the severe patients, and we're opening more and more COVID-19 wards." He adds that vaccinated patients now comprise 95% of severe cases in hospitals. But guess what? You already knew this, didn't you? The so-called breakthrough infections mean that the effectiveness of the COVID-19 vaccine might be waning. Yeah, folks, and that, your host has to interject, means you assume that it ever actually did something positive in the first place. But of course, that means it sets up the scenario for the necessity of booster shots, too, to be mandated. Numbers 2 through 13,765, if you live that long. Even the Israeli Ministry of Health, or MOH, has to admit to the claims of the vaccine's dwindling effectiveness. Their July 2021 report says that the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine effectiveness, sick, drops to 39% against the more recent B16172 Delta variant. 39% effective. What a crock, folks. Wait a minute. Here's another story via CNBC about how the Pfizer vaccine was just 16% effective against symptomatic infection for those individuals who received two doses in January. Huh? People who take the poke and don't die immediately, or they don't die of COVID, they die of something else instead, right away? How effective is it, you might want to know, at generating new bioweapon variants? If even a tiny fraction of 1% manage to come up with their own new Greek letter, that's a whole lot of dead people, eventually. Which leads me directly to a related piece that I'll also interject here, having to do with how if you don't like what the words imply, you just change their meaning. With a tip of the hat to Ben Barti and thedailybell.com via Natural News again. For example, vaccine. I reported quite some time ago about how the Crooked Death Company, or CDC, changed their old vaccine definition that talked about stimulating a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease. No mention of exactly what it used to be, which was a killed or attenuated virus that was injected to achieve that. Well, the new CDC definition of vaccine says it's a preparation used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. Doesn't actually have to prevent anything, it would seem. Likewise, Merriam-Webster has also changed their old definition of a vaccine from a, quote, preparation of killed microorganisms, living attenuated organisms, or living fully virulent organisms that is administered to produce or artificially increase immunity to a particular disease. Instead, now it reads, it's a preparation administered to stimulate the body's immune response against a specific infectious disease. Again, does it actually do anything, or just stimulate the immune system to do something totally useless, as it may turn out? Like overwhelm you with antibody-dependent enhancement to a spike protein. And maybe some of this helps to explain why it is that liars like Fauci don't even want to talk about natural or acquired immunity. In other words, people who get the booga booga flu and survive don't get it anymore because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and your own immune system does a heck of a lot better job defending you against the same thing that it's already seen when it sees it again later on than any artificial poke, whether you call it a vaccine or not. Which leads me to a quick quotation from the Yale-funded MedRxiv, which says, quote, SARS-CoV-2 naive vaccines had a 13.06-fold, 95% CI, 8.08 to 21.1, increased risk for breakthrough infection with the Delta variant compared to those previously infected, in other words, now immune, when the first event, either infection or vaccination, occurred during January and February of 2021. The increased risk was significant, probability less than 0.001, for symptomatic disease as well. In other words, folks, the risk of a breakthrough infection for the vaxxed is 13 times higher than it is compared to natural immunity from having had it before. So why would you want to risk the stroke poke to throw that away? No wonder so many health workers, and the number seems to be increasing, aren't drinking the Kool-Aid either. Speaking of which, since I first reported on this story Tuesday, Project Veritas is getting more and more exposure for what may be one of the biggest exposés yet on the topic of medical fraud. As Dr. Paul Craig Roberts summarized it, what you have here is a doctor and chief RN in a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services hospital reporting that the official Big Brother Biden regime protocol now is not to report, as once required by their rules, adverse reactions to the vaccine, and not to treat COVID patients with safe and effective, although certainly no longer patented and therefore not as profitable to the puppeteers, nor as deadly, ivermectin. Indeed, he notes, it's impermissible to do so, and you're fired if you save lives with ivermectin, or if you permit staff to refuse to be poked based on informed consent once they've seen the deadly effects of the vaccine on their own patients. And in case you missed part one, Project Veritas is reporting on a federal government whistleblower from HHS that's now gone public with secret recordings, among other things, saying clearly that the vaccine is full of shit. Speaking about the damnable cover-up of the downright deadly side effects of the massive not-a-vaccine poke, emergency room doctor Maria Gonzalez of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services expressed her obvious frustration at the number of serious cases of side effects she's seen of people who have just taken the vaccine and whose reactions are not being reported, as they're required to do, by what they once thought of as law.
Now you got this guy in room four who got his second dose of vaccine on Tuesday, has been short of breath.
He's got brain myocarditis.
Yes!
Oh, this is bullshit.
Let's see.
Probably myocarditis due to the vaccine.
Right.
But now they're not going to blame the vaccine.
Well, and you know what? But he has an obligation to report that, doesn't he?
They are not reporting.
Right.
And as James O'Keefe helps make clear in the video, we're talking about a 30-some-year-old patient who's suffering from congestive heart failure immediately after having taken his second dose of what your host refers to as the Zyklon B poke. And as the other whistleblower makes clear, this event specifically was not reported as required. And you can pretty well guess it's representative of a whole lot more, likewise. And why?
And the people that have been vaccinated, they're not doing any antibody testing.
It's super fishy.
Not that it hasn't been done. It hasn't been published.
That's it all. Hasn't probably been done because the government doesn't want to show that the darn vaccine is full of shit.
The government doesn't want to show that the vaccine is full of shit.
It's not doing what its purpose was.
Well, gee, here I might take slight exception to what the whistleblower is saying. I guess it depends on what the actual purpose was. It certainly wasn't what they were telling people, at least. James O'Keefe introduces one of the whistleblowers, Jody O'Malley, and then cuts to a screenshot from the FDA website.
It says that you're required to report adverse events following vaccinations. One of those would be congestive heart failure.
That's a huge one.
Were there other instances that they didn't report?
Oh, I've seen dozens of people come in with an adverse reaction.
Whereupon he proceeds to go into more detail on exactly the kind of things that are being covered up. And this, folks, is just part one of two. Dr. Roberts also points out something that's been infuriating to your host for quite a while. Well, ever since it almost got me killed as a result of their evil. It has now emerged, he writes, that the medical establishment arranged a so-called test and actually had a discussion with one of my doctors while I was in the hospital on this subject, folks, of hydroxychloroquine's effectiveness by waiting until patients were in the last stage of their disease before administering the drug. They did this despite knowing that HCQ is effective primarily in the early stages of COVID infection and arrests the progress of the infection at that point. But in the later stages of the disease, HCQ is not effective, or at least not nearly as effective. And quickly here, folks, your host has to interject, based on my own understanding of the studies, as an ionophore, it also should be used along with zinc, which it allows to better penetrate the cell membranes and do its work. So having rigged the test in this way over the dead bodies of numerous betrayed patients, the medical establishment used the arranged failure of HCQ to prevent the use of an even better drug, ivermectin, which is effective at all stages of the disease. And here, folks, again, your host can testify firsthand. Although, of course, here we go. In communist America, gotta have a disclaimer. That's not medical advice, it's just my personal experience. Your mileage may vary. And if you drink too much of the waste stream medical Kool-Aid, it might go all the way to zero. And at this point, we go back to the whistleblower in Project Veritas, who recounts tearfully the tragic story of her friend, also a medical worker, who was literally coerced into taking the poison poke on threat of losing her job, and it killed her.
She didn't want to take it. She didn't want to take it because of her religious beliefs. And she was coerced into taking it. And it's like, nobody should have to decide between their livelihood, being a part of the team in the hospital, or take the vaccine. Now we're just making people take it, and then there's reactions to it, and then you have a medication that has been shown effective and surely has no adverse reactions for trying it.
And that, folks, ivermectin is what they say. Oh, no, you can't have it because there's not sufficient clinical data to guarantee that it's safe enough for you. And other similar BS.
Did Dr. Bhagwat talk to you about prescribing ivermectin for...
Patient name redacted.
Not a lot of this is on. And so physicians can't prescribe off-label use medication here?
Not for COVID. They did it with hydroxychloroquine, and it was really bad, and so they are not allowing it right now.
She said, yes, I would agree to write for this because she's not contraindicated. And
Dr. Bhagwat said that?
Yes.
I am stuck. I am told you are absolutely not to use it under any circumstances whatsoever for somebody with COVID unless you don't want to have a job. I am not going to lose my job.
Damn.
They were not allowing, they were going to lose their job if they allowed you to use that drug.
Right. Nuts.
The bottom line, though, is something that's been increasingly obvious for a long time. They're lying to people. They're violating the Nuremberg Principles and conducting literally deadly experiments on live human guinea pigs. And it's getting harder by the day to deny the obvious. This is nothing but outright genocide. When it comes to ivermectin itself and the obscene attempts in America to literally make it go away, Dr. Roberts writes that this is official protocol despite the fact that, number one, ivermectin has cleared COVID from entire areas of India where it's now used as a preventative or prophylaxis. Number two, that the Tokyo Medical Association has recommended that Japanese doctors use ivermectin for the prevention and cure of COVID. Number three, large areas of Africa where ivermectin is regularly used both as a preventative and a treatment for river blindness, and they just happen to have very few COVID cases. And number four, that the vast majority of Americans who are cured of COVID by treatment are not cured in hospitals, but by actual doctors in private practice who still haven't been cowed out of administering HCQ and ivermectin. The overwhelming evidence, he writes, is that the U.S. medical, political, and media establishment is perfectly comfortable knowing and enforcing unscientific and counterfactual death policies on the American people. So back then to where we started this segment. The chickens may be coming home to roost for the plandemic deceivers. Even if, unfortunately, that doesn't yet mean Nuremberg trials for America's Dr. Mengele's. As more evidence continues to emerge that masks are not only unsafe and ineffective, but destructive for the wear and literally child abuse in the case of children, it's becoming clear that the COVID-19 not vaccine is even worse. And those who fell victim to the pagan COVID death cult want answers. Ask Huff, why did the medical profession as a whole capitulate to these lies when it was obvious to many, those with half a brain, right from the beginning that the pandemic so-called safety protocols were all contrived? Why were hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin restricted from being prescribed when they could have put a swift end to the lockdowns and other restrictions? Well, that one, I think, folks, is obvious. If you consider that the emergency use authorization for the poke of the beast would have then been stillborn, people who now know they've been lied to want to know what happened to do no harm. Instead, we've got full-scale medical fascism. Oh, yeah, and what happened to my body, my choice? As the American thinker's Randy Pinkerton writes, does the medical community understand that it's sacrificed the trust of Americans, possibly forever? Do they even acknowledge the self-inflicted wounds that will now affect the relationship between doctors and their patients going forward? How can doctors and nurses reclaim the trust of patients, and is it even possible at this point? Because it's hard to deny that they were either really stupid or downright malevolent, and given that they're supposed to be educated people, it's pretty hard to argue against malevolent. Well, folks, your host is a bit more blunt, as you know. I would say it's simply a war between good and obviously evil. So pay attention, remember who you serve, and most importantly, what he says is important. Because if you really understand what's going on in the world, it's not only never been more important, it's never been more a matter of life and death. And in just about every way you can think of.